And now for the rest of the Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about dreams, omens, intuitions. Stand by. The Dream Dudes are next on Coast to Coast AM. Michael and Nicole Sebastian are known as the Dream Dudes. They've worked with dreams, omens, intuition for more than 20 years. Michael and Nicole are co-authors of Trust Yourself, Master Your Dreams, Master Your Destiny, the Modern Day Bible on Dreams. They reside in Hollywood and conduct workshops and private consultations in the Los Angeles area. Their tools and techniques provide a method for opening a window to the personal transformation and spiritual evolution. Nicole is a licensed drug and alcohol therapist and certified fitness trainer. Michael is a sociologist and has taught at numerous universities throughout the country. Our guests tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, Michael and Nicole. How are you both?
Well, hello, George.
How you doing?
You know, I leave L.A. for a few weeks only to find out that you folks live there.
We're here, and it's raining in L.A.
So they call you the Dream Dudes. How did you get that?
Well, it's a good moniker for being remembered. If they remember nothing else, they go, the Dream Dudes. God, I remember that. So it's a good name. That's why we selected it.
You know what? When I was just starting my talk show in St. Louis, I wanted the same thing that you did. I wanted a handle that people would remember me and the program. So I called myself the Nighthawk, and it just took off like crazy. And, I mean, people still remember that. I still get calls now on Coast to Coast from St. Louisans, and they simply say, hey, Nighthawk, how are you? So that's good. The Dream Dude, that's something you're going to remember for a long time. As a matter of fact, I do a promo for KFI, our Los Angeles affiliate, right. And the talk show host before me is John Ziegler. And John was saying, I almost had the Dream Dudes on, George. So he remembers that name. You know, so it works.
Love us or hate us, they're going to remember.
How did, and so you're both there together so you can see each other so you don't step over each other. Right. How did you both get involved in dreams, omens, intuition? How did that happen?
Well, initially, I had a dream of meeting Nicole 5 years before I ever met her. And it was one of those dreams that's real vivid, and you can't, you know, you wake up and you wonder if you were asleep or awake. I wrote the whole thing down in a journal, and there was this hot girl in the dream, and I thought, oh, my God, who was that? And her name was Nicole in the dream, and same eyes, hair. Fast forward 5 years later, the journal's still sitting on my shelf, and I was teaching sociology at a college in Texas. And who walks into my classroom and sits in the front row? None other than Nicole. The kicker is that 5 years had passed. I did not remember the dream. And what happens is we end up hooking up. In 3 months, we're engaged. 9 months, we are married. And I started having deja vu flashes, like, I've lived this life before. How do I know she's going to become a personal trainer? And that went on for almost a year. And one day, I'm flipping through my journals on a Saturday just to kill some time, and I found the dream that I had 5 years prior to that of Nicole. So that was a prophecy dream. And I had already been into dreams for maybe 10 years before that, and Nicole had been working with dreams for about 5-6 years. So based on that dream and what we had discovered for ourselves, we decided to do the Dream Dudes and to give to others what we had found for ourselves, pass the gift along.
I love this story. Now, Nicole, did you have a similar dream? I mean, did you know who Michael was when you met him, or did that not happen for you?
Well, I'll tell you, George, for me, it was not a dream. It was an intuitive hunch. When I signed up for sociology class, and, you know, we've been together now approximately 11 years, and when I signed up for class, went to class the very first day, sat in the front row, he walked in, and that gut feeling, that inner voice spoke loud and clear, and it said, Nicole, this is the one. This is the one you're to marry. And at this time, you know, I'm 24 years old. Now I'm 35, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and,
yeah, you're so old now, Nicole, right? Oh, come on.
Trying to give you a little picture there, George.
Okay.
And so I ran home to my roommate, and I said, Heather, I would marry this guy in a heartbeat. She thought, you know, Nicole's just being her crazy self. Now, I let the semester end. I tend to be a little bit ethical there, and so I didn't, you know, the schoolwork, and I did not bother Mr. Sebastian.
The teacher.
You got it. Until the next semester, I saw him in the hallway, George, and I asked him out. We had lunch the next day, dinner the night following, then we were engaged in 90 days and married in 9 months. Boom, boom, boom.
You asked him out.
You better believe it.
All right, Michael, what took you so long? Why didn't you ask her out?
At first, George, I thought, I really thought fatal attraction. This girl is out there.
Like a stalker girl?
Yes, yes. And it was, I knew, I could feel she was driven by some sort of vision that I hadn't shared yet. I'd had the dream, but I had forgotten the dream. And she had that intuitive nudge. So she knew, but I didn't know for quite a while yet. So I was
wondering. All right, so you go out on your date. Do you both then begin to share this incredible intuitive time that you were having prior to actually meeting, Michael? I mean, at this point, do you talk about the dream? And Nicole, do you tell him you knew you're the one?
Yeah, it did lead up to that, George, absolutely. And most importantly, we discussed synchronicities and coincidences, the type of, you know, conversation you have when you meet someone and, oh, you're an only child? Oh, well, so am I. Well, you grew up, you know, in the East? Oh, well, you know, this type of talk where you really notice how similar the two of you are and all of these things that you have in common.
And an interesting interesting aside on that, I was like the second time we got together, and I'm walking her back to her car, and I'd never seen her car before, and from the back I'm looking at her license plate, and it was like, oh, there's three digits in Texas, and then three letters like 971KRW,
yeah.
And I saw the KRW, and I almost stumbled as I saw it, because KRW was the initials for my ex-wife. And I thought, and
weird.
Right away I knew, when you get that feeling, sometimes you just get that gut feeling.
Yep.
I thought, oh my God, is this good news or bad news?
Well, so far it looks like it's been good news.
Good news, good news.
Yeah, and so George, you know, if you look at those three instances, Michael's dream, then the license plate omen of uh-huh. prophecy, along with my intuitive hunch, and that's what our whole philosophy of trust yourself is based upon, the dreams, the omens, the intuition. When we follow this guidance, we fulfill and maximize our potential, George.
I thought omens were bad. That's not true, is it?
No.
No, there's good omens, like the license plate omen.
But I never hear anybody say, oh, this is a good omen. I always hear them say, this is a bad omen.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell you, I think it comes from that movie, you know, The Omen, Damien, 666.
Yeah.
But omen simply means message.
Or sign, and people tend to zero in on the negative.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You know, there's good omens occurring all day long, too. Like, mine's a rainbow. Whenever I see rainbows on something, I know, for me, it means I'm on track. Things are good. They're going well. Don't worry about it. So that's my good omen.
And mine, George, is a Lamborghini.
Not a bad omen.
That figures, right?
When I see the Lamborghini, it's all good. Things are moving ahead nicely.
When you interpret the dreams, omens, intuition, are they similar or all three facets here different? I mean, can you say that dreams are totally different from an omen and omens are totally different from intuition and dreams? Or are there similarities?
Actually, they're all part of the same fabric, and you know we sleep a third of our life, and we dream 4 to 6 times every night. Everybody does on the planet. Last night, there were approximately 30 billion dreams on the planet, so everybody's dreaming. But then when we wake up, everyone assumes the dreaming stops at that point, and we get on with our awake, conscious life. But it's not really the case. We get omens or signs, which we call them waking dreams all day long. And the more aware we become of them, the more we see them, and the more we use them and incorporate them into our life. And at the same time, say, I know when just before the phone rings, maybe my mother's going to call me, and I just get that gut feeling, and the phone rings, and I go, I bet you that's my, and I pick it up, and it is. I mean, how many times has someone called you, and you go, I knew you were going to call.
Yeah, I've done that a lot. Or sometimes I think I've willed them to call.
And you may have. You've been thinking about them, and that thought goes out. It's an electromagnetic field, projects out, touches them. They pick up the phone because you're thinking about them, call, and you go, hey, I was just thinking about you. And, you know, that's a synchronicity. It's also a intuition. And those things are all connected. They're all part of the same fabric, the fabric of quantum physics would call it the fabric of reality, the fabric of space and time.
Are most people senders, receivers, or both?
They're both. And it depends. Some people are better senders. Other people are better receivers. Children tend to be, in many cases they're both, but sometimes they're better receivers than senders. Animals are, too. Animals are senders and receivers. Cats work that way. For years and years, I couldn't figure out. Every time I'd go to, I used to have country cats, and they'd come in the house every time I opened the door, and I'd put them back out. And I'd look at them, and they'd be sitting there, and I'd think, I'm going to grab it as soon as it's not lunch. As soon as I had that thought, the cat would jump up, look at me like it knew what I was thinking. And, of course, it was because I had sent the thought. I had telegraphed it, and cats are very telepathic. They work that way on visuals. If you visualize something, they will pick up on it immediately. That's how animals work.
Earlier today, I saw a squirrel up in a tree, and it was sitting on a branch making the weirdest sound I've ever heard a squirrel make ever in my life. And, you know, I'm pretty astute with animals, and this thing was just making the weirdest sound, almost like a hum, and it was shaking, and it was not moving. And I'm saying, my God, what's wrong with it? There's something wrong. And as I got a little closer to this tree, and he was up there about 25 feet, I could see that on the bottom base of the tree, on the ground, there was another dead squirrel. And obviously it was probably his friend or his mate or something. Right. And I'm watching this, and he must have been up there for 40 minutes just cowering or making this sound. And it just dawned on me that the communication or the intuitiveness of people or even animals is absolutely remarkable, especially during times of crises, which is one of the reasons we wanted to have you two on tonight, because as we talk about these three aspects of the paranormal, a lot of people, and you'll find out when we open up the phone lines in our third hour, a lot of people in this moment of very tense uneasiness are beginning to dream things, feel things, and to me, that's a sign of something to come. Something's going to happen. Am I right there?
Well, absolutely, especially in the sense that everything's connected, and that goes back to a quantum physics. Quantum today speculates that everything is connected. So, you know, I'm connected to you. You're connected to your friends. Not only that, but to the animals and the planet and off-planet. So everything is part of everything else, which makes more sense as to being intuitive. Suddenly you think, I knew that phone was going to ring and I knew who it was, which sounds mystical or like a miracle. But if we're all connected, it's not so mystical after all. It's merely a law of physics, and we're feeling the vibration come in before the actual event occurs. And we're all connected in the sense, look at the internet right now. Look at TV, radio, print, how they all bleed and blend into each other. Everything is becoming more connected on a daily basis. That's why people are having dreams of a universal consciousness, almost kind of like what Jung talked about, that we all share a universal consciousness, and we're really tapping into everyone else's thoughts. We're starting to pick up on it more on a daily basis. You're right.
Why or how is this happening? What's out there in the universe that allows this to occur?
Well, George, you know, I really believe that people are starting to wake up, and the spiritual consciousness is starting to increase, and people are tapping in a lot easier than ever before, especially with all the new methodologies out there, even the yoga and the chanting and this type of thing. People are becoming very interested, very curious, and they're not willing to settle any longer for being asleep and sleepwalking through this life. And I think it's that yearning of soul that is really starting to kick in at this time.
And there's an old saying, when the student is ready, the master will appear. And what it means is when we finally reach a certain point of awareness or consciousness, indeed, we start to wake up. It's kind of like the hundredth monkey theory, and you've heard of that before.
Right, absolutely.
You know, when 100 monkeys pick up on the same information, suddenly it becomes instantaneously communicated to the whole community. And it's becoming that way with our planet. As more and more people wake up, they are communicating with each other telepathically, inwardly, through dreams, intuition, signs. They're starting to notice these things.
Are scientists or physicists who understand quantum physics, would they agree with this, that there's some kind of wireless connection here?
Yes, they would. I ran into, at a spiritual gathering, actually two Sundays ago, I ran into a quantum physicist who was at the gathering, and he teaches at UCLA. And we talked for a while, and I was coming from a spiritual perspective, and he was coming more from a quantum perspective, probably. But they would agree that, yes, everything is connected. And they did research years ago in quantum and found out that, like when we measure a photon, every other photon in the universe knows when that one photon is being measured. And what was really weird, they weren't so shocked about that. What they were shocked about was that every other photon knew instantaneously that this one photon was being measured. And that was surprising, because they used to believe that the speed of light determined how quickly something would be informed. So if the other photon were on Alpha Centauri 2, 5 light years away, it would take 5 years before it knew we were measuring a photon here, but that wasn't the case. Quantum went on to prove that it knew instantaneously, and finally they came to the conclusion and the theory that everything is connected. It's all one big ball of wax. It's like a hologram. So when we wag the tail, the dog wags, even if it's 5 light years away, immediately.
I can understand that and believe that, because, you know, we came out of the same soup, basically.
Exactly. And that's a good way of looking at it. It's a bowl of soup. We might be a drop in that bowl of soup, but suddenly we become part of the soup itself.
Our guests tonight are what we call the Dream Dudes, Michael and Nicole Sebastian. Their website is www.thedreamdudes.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll be talking tonight about nightmares and dreams and intuition, taking your calls in this arena. Your books, Trust Yourself, Sociology of Soul, are still out there and available for people?
Yes, they are. They can go to our website and get it, or they can call 1-800-BOOK-LOG.
1-800-BOOK-LOG?
Correct.
Okay, great. How about Amazon? Do they have it yet?
Yeah, they sure do.
Okay, great. Well, both of you stick with us, because we will be back. If you need to email me, that's always very simple as well. That's George at coasttocoastam.com. If you have never fast-blasted me before, or Art, or Ian, I don't know if Ian's using his or not yet, simply go to the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see some strange eyes, Sigmund Freud's eyes, as a matter of fact. And you click right under there, and Fast Blast goes on 15 minutes before the show and stays on 15 minutes after. It's mastered by Lex Lonehood and Sean LaDesur. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article on none other than Alex Jones. We're giving you a sneak peek of the After Dark newsletter. And if you'd like to subscribe and get 14 issues for the price of 12, here's a toll-free number, 1-888-727-5505. There are operators there now, 1-888-727-5505, or go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Well, we're talking with Michael and Nicole Sebastian, the Dream Dudes, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's talk, if we can, about nightmares and regular dreams, Michael and Nicole. What makes a nightmare, anyway?
Well, it's a dream that we didn't get the message, and we probably forgot it. We didn't remember it, or we remembered it and couldn't figure it out, and there's an important message coming through to us. So what our psyche does is turn it into a nightmare, and one of the reasons is we're going to remember it because we're going to wake up in fear, and it's going to be very vivid. So a nightmare really is a good thing in the sense that the message is coming through real hard, real strong, and real clear. And once we figure the nightmare out, the nightmare will indeed go away.
Are we supposed to react to the nightmare then the next day or whenever we remember it?
Well, in an ideal situation, George, we would journal. We would have our dream journal next to the bed. And when we woke up, we would write down or dream journal the nightmare. Then we would interpret it to get the message to carry that forward and make the necessary adjustments. Then we don't have to deal with that nightmare again.
Why do they seem so darn scary to us?
Petrified. Sometimes? Yes,
oh, yeah.
They are. Just to get our attention. It's really, you know, spirit saying, wake up. This is important. And if you pay attention and get the message, you know, it's going to have a positive impact on your life in some way.
And there's quite a few techniques for if nightmares are really a problem, like they're keeping you awake and kids have night terrors, there's a few techniques that can stop nightmares almost 100% of the time. And one of them is called rescripting technique.
Now, what is that?
And what you do is you jot the nightmare down all the way up to the point where it takes a twist for the negative. Maybe the monster suddenly is chasing you or about to bite you or kill you. At that point, you rescript the nightmare so it turns out to your benefit the way you want it to. Maybe you turn around and you shoot the monster, or maybe you get in the car, drive away, or start flying. In other words, you rescript the dream so it has a good ending for you. When we change it in the physical, when we're awake, it actually changes the nightmare also in the dream state. Why? Because it's kind of like what we were talking about before. Everything's connected. The waking state and the dream state are really one. They're not two.
So if you want to turn this horrible monster into a cute little kitten or something, and you just jot this down almost like you're writing your own movie script?
Exactly. If you rescript it, that's exactly right.
That's interesting. Can you use that technique if you just want to dream anything?
It's called creative dreaming. That you're right on the money. And all you do is script something the way you want it to go. And as you're writing it down, you're visualizing it inwardly. And it has another impact. When we write something, because you've heard that before, I'm sure. If you really want something to happen, you need to write it down, journal it.
Right.
And the reason for that is when we write something, we create a vibrational doorway in the words itself, because we've got an emotion and we've got a visual image as we're writing, and it creates a vibrational or frequency doorway. So it causes an impact that goes like an electromagnetic field outward, and every time we reread that particular passage, it pulls us back to the emotion that was tied to writing it. So it's like a doorway. It creates it over and over and over again. You can go back a year from now, read the same thing, and those emotions will come back once again.
Do you two interpret dreams for
Absolutely.
People?
Absolutely.
Ah.
You know, the goal is to teach people how to interpret their own, because no one knows you better than you. But we do interpret dreams as well as teach people how to. And, you know, if you dream of a snake, George, and I do, it means two different things. Again, because we are unique individuals, and the best way to interpret a dream, simply put, is word association. What that symbol means to you will clue you in as to your own interpretation of it. And then the key question is, what's going on in my life right now.
Now, are some dreams, though, for some people, they're very predictive dreams. So they're dreams of the future. Some people don't understand it. Some people can't analyze it, but they do that. So how would you distinguish these precognitive dreams from normal dreams or nightmares?
That's a fabulous point. There are many different categories: prophetic, precognitive, clearing, warning, guidance. And really, it goes along with the feeling of the dream when you wake up.
Exactly. You'll know whether it was a prophetic dream. It's like working out, or if you get in a batting cage. Maybe you can only hit a 20-mile-an-hour fastball to start with, but if you stay in that cage...
That's a pretty slow fastball, Michael.
Eventually, you're going to hit the 80-mile-an-hour, 70-mile-an-hour fastball. But it takes practice, where maybe you're shooting foul shots. Before you hit 8 out of 10, you're going to be at the foul line for a while. Same way with dreams, as we begin to work with them. I had a dream of meeting Nikki 5 years before I met her. Did I know that was a prophetic dream? No. But as I worked more and more with dreams, I was able to recognize that's a prophetic dream because it has a certain feel to the dream as it comes in. I was thinking also the point you were making about people dreaming of things more consciously as a group also. And many people had dreams of the World Trade Centers, the Twin Towers,
yes,
that are coming forth now. Thousands and thousands of people saying, I had a dream and I had no idea, weeks and months and a year before, of the towers going up in flames and coming down. And they're tapping into that, and that's really a prophetic dream. Or all the people who dreamed of Kennedy, JFK, getting shot in Dallas. Many people dreamed of that. Gene Dixon being one, called him a dozen times and told him she had dreams. And, you know, that's part of prophecy.
My daughter had a 9/11 dream. She had, in her dream, and this again was before the horrible tragedy occurred, she dreamt that she was in a major metropolitan city, that she was walking in about 6 inches of dust and soot, and there was smoke everywhere. What she did not dream, of the towers coming down. She could see glimpses of skyscrapers, you know, as some of the smoke had cleared a little bit, but she distinctly remembered seeing bodies and people in ash and dust. I thought maybe she was dreaming of a volcano somewhere, you know, maybe in the Seattle area or something. So after 9/11 occurred, we both realized that that's what she was dreaming, and she had basically put herself in that scenario, and she was walking around after the fact. And it was an, and she's very good at this.
And some people, you know, we all are to some extent, but it's like anything else. Maybe, you know, maybe you're better at playing the guitar or singing or playing baseball than I am. But the talent is there. We can all pick up to a certain degree. Like with your daughter, she tapped into an event or a vibration that was already out there, because once again, to go back to, you know, how do you explain this back to quantum physics, even Einsteinian physics, that there is no past, present, or future, that the time track really is all one, and that we can access it through dreams because it steps outside of that linear time spectrum where we can see the future, because we go to the future, it's already been written, and we bring it back with us, we download it, basically.
How does your subconscious also take over? Like you did, Michael, you have this dream about Nicole 5 years prior. I have a feeling your subconscious went to work for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably did. And something like that goes into our subconscious, and everything is stored there, and it indeed works on it and pulls it back up at a certain period. And it's almost like a deja vu. Even the dreams that we have forgotten are stored. And we know that all events are stored. All dreams are stored also. If you're hypnotized, if you think you forget something, believe me, if they hypnotize you, they can take you all the way back to the event, even though you were unconscious at the time when the event occurred. Same way with dreams. We will remember the dreams subconsciously, and they will act as a mirror for events that happen out here. That's what a deja vu is. So we meet someone and we have that feeling like, God, I've met them before. Or maybe I've never been to Seattle, but when I walk around this corner, I know there's a shop around there and it's going to be blue and there's going to be a certain person. And so sure enough, we go around the corner and that's the case. Well, how does that happen? We had a dream of it, a prophetic dream. We forgot the dream, and it acts as a mirror. Our subconscious shows us that, and we feel it. And what happens, it's a deja vu when we run into it out here.
In some cases, you even know what that person is going to say.
Exactly. That conversation that we feel like we've had 100 times before.
Can you utilize your dreams to do things for you in your personal life? Maybe, you know, a successful career or a relationship or whatever, merely by going to sleep and thinking about it, picturing it, and then you just go to sleep and just, you know, again, let the subconscious do its work for you. Can you do that?
Absolutely. And we call it programming your dream. And really, it's about creating your life and the life that you want to lead, the life that you want to live. And it takes effort, okay? So you'd lay down, you'd go to sleep. And actually, I'll give you the first technique, and it's entitled the hue technique. And it's a toning, it's a sound, George. So let me go ahead and do the hue, give you
okay,
a demo.
Okay, sure.
All right, here we go. Hue. H-U, hue. That's the toning technique you would do when you lay down. You would do three hues. As you lay down, you get comfy, close your eyes. You're to visualize what it is you're wanting to create for yourself, be it a better relationship, a better career, this type of thing. It even helps if you jot it in the journal, your goal, you know, that whole goal setting thing,
yes.
And we're going to write it down. So you go ahead, you journal it, you visualize it, you hue, which helps clear, and it helps you become receptive and open. That's why we hue. It also helps relax you and get a good night's sleep and this type of thing, George. And then you go ahead and you really create, through the visualization and programming your dream, the type of scenario that you are looking for. Now, let's keep in mind, we work with the inner. We call it the inner and the outer, George. That's working on the inner planes, the inner part of yourself. But we also have to work towards those things on the outer. They just don't come to us, as we all know, because we all work really hard in this life, I feel. And we work for the things that we've got coming. And with that, you've got to put in the effort. You've got to put in the work. You work on the inner. You work on the outer. And then you leave the results up to spirit, if you will, or your higher self, to fill in that mold of what you created.
Do you find that successful people use these techniques all the time?
Absolutely, whether they are aware of it or not. Some people, I think it's, you know, again, the innate abilities, and some people have to work at it to become proficient, just like building a bicep. You know, it takes time, it takes repetition, it takes effort and a discipline. But we can hone these techniques and become pretty creative individuals.
Are there some people, Michael and Nicole, who use their dreams to do harm to other people?
I'm so happy you mentioned that, because you know what? Yes, and they're called dreams of intrusion, George.
Dreams
and they
of
do
intrusion.
Happen. And, you know, here's a good way, you know, like, how can I identify this? Is this a dream of intrusion? Well, in your dream, if an individual that you know is acting out of character, or you yourself are acting out of character, that's a telltale sign of a dream of intrusion. Now, you'd say, well, that son of a gun. Well, you know what, though? Actually, we are fully responsible for the things that happen to us. So someone can be projecting all kinds of thoughts onto us. Well, shame on them, you know, and that type of thing. However, it comes back to us and being fully responsible for protecting ourselves.
So if someone is envious, someone resents us, someone is maybe even fantasizing about
or maybe
us,
even out to hurt you physically.
Yes, and is holding feelings of resentment, anger, that sort of thing gets projected out into our dreams. They are probably unaware of what they're doing. But nonetheless, those things show up in our dreams, like Nikki said, characters acting out of sorts, or maybe we are way out of character in a dream. That's a dream of intrusion. And
now, this is pretty weird, though. The intruder, the guy who goes to bed thinking, all right, I'm going to get Joe Blow here, and you know, it could be anything from I want him to die of a heart attack in his sleep to I hope he gets fired at his job, whatever it is, this negativity. If this person ends up in your dream, you go to sleep, you're dreaming, and you see this guy acting peculiar or strange, are the chances are that that person then is doing something to you?
Yes. Actually, yes, and you can kind of figure it out by working back, like by regression, to figure out who it is. Because basically, I would ask the question, okay, who's in my life right now that I feel would fit the mold for causing a dream of intrusion? And usually, I can narrow it down probably to a few people. And at that point, you know most likely who's doing it, but what's more important, you have to figure out how to get them out of your dream.
I would guess that there are some people who have practiced dreams, shamanism, whatever, over the years, are probably pretty good at this, aren't they?
There are some people out there, George, you have no idea exactly how skilled they are. They have been doing it their whole life. There are people who, from the time they are small, are taught how to manipulate dreams, how to go into other people's dreams. Some people call it more commonly like voodoo, black magic.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, how to manipulate dreams, how to get somebody to, how to harm them in a psychic way.
Does it ever have a boomerang effect and come back and get the intruder?
It certainly can if you use a certain protection technique. For example, if you put up one technique would be you would put up a mirror. Or just visualize, you wrap yourself in mirrors. The mirrors are facing outward. Whatever that person does, once you get your mirrors up, whatever they do hits the mirrors and reflects back to them. So at that point, they get immediately what they send.
And the ultimate technique to use every night when you lay down, really, is to hew. To hew three times when you lay down at night will put up that force field and protect you in the dream state, in the sleep state, so things of a higher, pure nature can come in, and none of that negative stuff.
How does that work, Nicole? How does the hue work in terms of the physics behind it? What does it do?
Well, the hue is a vibration. It's a frequency, just like, you know, we have, like, let's say we go to sleep.
Or like a tuning fork, right?
Exactly.
Or even like a radio station. Depending on which location you are listening to your show, you tune into that frequency to pick up the show. If you don't tune into that frequency, you don't get it. And that's essentially how the hue works also. It sets up a force field or frequency around you that is very, very fine, very strong, and it keeps any negative influences out.
All right. Well, stay with us when we come back, omens and intuition on Coast to Coast AM.